Hey guys.
Hello, hello. I'm Haley Bedard.
And I'm Alicia Lam. We are the Misery Loves Garlic Bread podcast. We cover true crime cases and a bunch of weird and spooky things while keeping a lighthearted comedy twist.
Our true crime part covers topics like serial killers, con artists, cold cases, and so much more. As for spooky, we're talking paranormal experiences, conspiracy theories, urban legends, and all things that go bump in the night.
Join us every Sunday while we share a loaf of garlic bread, ramble on, and overshare way too much about our lives.
Way too much, guys. We're active on social media outlets. Find us by basically just searching Misery Loves Garlic Bread. Listen to us on Podbean, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and any of your usual listening platforms. Hey, Alicia, where are we living?
Oh, on the spooky side.
Was A Quiet Place inspired by signs it comes at night in War for the Planet of the Apes? Was Ready Player One influenced by Avatar, Wreck-It Ralph, and The Last Starfighter? Is The Hurricane Heist more influenced by Sharknado or Geostorm? These are the kinds of questions my guest co-hosts and I discuss on my podcast, Piecing It Together. Every week, we look at a new movie and try to figure out what other movies inspired it, whether it's the story, the character development, tone, or even use of music. Every movie was influenced by something that came before, and we want to figure out what. Check out Piecing It Together on your favorite podcast app or check us out on piecingpod.com. You can also follow us on social media at piecingpod. Piecing It Together is a part of the All Points West Podcast Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, this podcast, truly one of the most unusual ever recorded, contains dribble, slang, and frank discussion of subject matter which under no circumstances should be heard by small children, persons with a heart condition, or anyone who is upset easily. If you are such a person, or if you're the parent of a very small child in the room, we urge you to switch off your streaming device now.
Hidey-ho there, Jen.
Hey there, Crimerinos.
So I have one for you.
Okay, good.
How are you?
Good. I'm doing good.
Okay, good. Back to me.
Yeah.
All right, so here's the deal.
It's always you.
You know, I love the internet. Oh. I don't know what people did without it. Like, I will get
well, we lived without
ideas
the internet
in my head, and I just have to go find stuff.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, this week in class, we're doing the MLA citations, works cited page, and all that stuff. I know.
Wow.
In English class, it's a snoozer.
What a coinky dink.
Well, it's all about fraud and plagiarism, but that just happened to fall in that. But I'll bring this to you and all the other listeners out there probably know this. Remember back in our day, back in high school, when we were taught how to type and write, you would do the two spaces. At the end, it would be period, two
and
spaces.
And now it's one space.
And now it's one space. So
that's hard.
Well, for me, I can't. It's look at my
No, I know. I'm the same
it's
way.
Always two. So I started thinking, and I was doing that out loud, and my co-teacher, I said, hey, he's 10 years younger than us, so he's 14. And I said, was it like this when you, and he said, yes. In fact, I didn't even know it had changed till you said it yesterday out loud. And so I was like, I wonder why. So I went and looked it up, meaning I love me some Google. And it goes back to the font and the typewriter. Mm-hmm. Look at you. I wish I could have just called you.
You should have.
Anyway.
I am like your Google.
I am. You're my Google. Google, Jingle. There we go. Anyway, so something else. I was on the internet and I ran into this and then I had to go look it up. Jen?
Camille? Cam?
Science,
Commode,
as we know,
Camel Toe,
has come a long way.
Long way.
Long way. It's come a long way.
It's long. I'm telling you, it's a long time.
So it's come a long way. And it has allowed us to do a great many things, such as discover new diseases and cures for these diseases.
Fly to the moon.
Often it has been, shall we say, not so forthcoming with what or how it's practiced, but even worse, it lied. It lied to those who already suffered so much in American history.
Science lied?
This is the story of how ignorance and blatant racism affected an unknown amount of people, all without them even realizing they were being used as a medical guinea pig. and who would eventually pay with their life. So Jenny, do you remember those videos in middle school we saw and they would warn us of the terrible STD, sexually transmitted disease?
You mean the clap?
Yes, the clap.
And the chlamydia?
Or the drip?
The drip.
God, gross. Anyway, they used to be called sexually transmitted diseases.
STDs.
Now they're called?
Love bugs?
No. Close. Sexually transmitted infections.
Oh, I did not. STIs, no?
STIs. You didn't know that?
Mm-mm.
Oh, yeah. That's what they call them now.
Fancy.
So in these videos, you would see the cute little germs dancing around and telling you to be careful, be a safety person. These infections, such as syphilis, have been around for a long time.
Very
and many
long.
People throughout history have been believed to be infected with syphilis, such as, can you name anybody?
Al Capone.
Yep.
Probably Genghis Khan.
I don't know about that.
God forbid he had enough chances.
Anybody else?
Not
Thank you. I'm
going to
go. Henry VIII.
He also had gangrene. Was that any?
Beethoven. He had sores on his legs.
But Beethoven,
and then
yeah.
Went bad. Oscar Wilde. Believe that Hitler, there's a slew of them because they would, you know, be infected and then it would go untreated. With all these diseases, scientists and medical professionals had to study the disease to learn about it.
Right.
They had to figure out how it worked in order to figure out how to cure it.
Mm-hmm.
Starting in 1929 and continuing all the way up till 1972, the longest running public health campaign, or in this case, a better word would be experiment, because that's really what it was,
right,
would take place in Tuskegee, Alabama. It all started in 1929, Jen. The U.S. Public Health Services began a large health project, which would include six southern counties in Alabama. Medical officials would examine and then treat Black men and women, all with syphilis. Seems pretty okay, right? Seems kind of nice.
Besides that they picked...
Thank you. That's what I was going to say. Picking some of the poorest counties that desperately
needed
treatment.
Did they pay them? Do you know?
No, they got free
medical care
treatment. When medical staff showed up and tested people, they determined that there were nearly 40% infection rate among those that were tested, which would be nearly 3,700 men and women.
3,700?
40%. That means almost half. Like, come on. That cannot be right. Right? There's no way. This all goes back to making things, you know, lying, tweaking to get what you want. An important role here was to remember that medical tests were not all that accurate at the time. So no one was really sure just how correct these numbers were, but I'm going to say they were not.
They were still killing rabbits to find out if you were pregnant or not.
Oh, they did that pretty late, actually.
No, I know, but I'm just saying.
So I'm not a doctor, Jen, but
no.
I do play
Tell me.
One.
Say
I
no.
do play one on the podcast, but I'm going to say that I just don't think those numbers are correct. So it was decided through public funding, as well as some donations from rich people, around 1,400 people would begin being treated for syphilis free of charge.
Hmm.
Now it's time for your science lesson. Look, I had a history lesson. I'll get a science lesson.
See anything
that? Which I did kind of, I needed
I
to look this
history.
Up because I kind of forgot how it all worked.
Well, you wanted to get the facts straight.
Yeah, plus I slept through all this during my high school classes. Whatever. Syphilis is caused by a microscopic spirochete. I don't know how to say. It's something, okay? It's a type of bacteria. And
spell it.
I mean, it doesn't matter. Spirochete. Spirochete. Sounds Italian, but it's not. It's like, whatever.
Germs.
It's germs, okay? It's a type of bacteria that is transmitted through sexual contact or from mothers to children when they're born. It's most infectious in the early stage when sores appear. We all know the sores. Ew.
No, we don't.
Okay.
I don't know the stores.
You do. During the second stage of syphilis, the infected will have painful rashes, sores, and swellings. If it goes untreated, the disease goes into the third and final stage, which is the latent stage and can lead to disability, insanity, and death. Syphilis does not go away, Jen. It never goes away. No matter what that boy told you in high school, it does not go
away. It's like herpes.
Unless you get it treated. It can stay dormant for years or even decades and hide.
And then peekaboo. Hi.
Back to the story. So this time in history reflects the ignorance that people, even the medical professionals, had, which included their thoughts about the human body. I found this particularly interesting. Public health services had conducted studies and believed that syphilis affected Black people differently than white people.
Well, that would make sense, right? Because they're totally different.
Right. It was thought that the disease affected the cardiovascular system in black people, and it affected the neurological system in white people. Today, we know that is false, but again,
so
you need to know about racism.
These are scientists back in the 30s.
It's not even that. I mean, it's that long ago, but it wasn't that long ago. That's why, I mean, when you look at this, how really shameful this is. They didn't do this to a bunch of white people with syphilis.
No, of course
Shame
not.
Shame on you.
No, they never. I know.
When the Tuskegee study began, patients were being treated with mercury.
Oh, good.
And bismuth, which were all heavy metals.
Right.
And not the kind with the big hair. Dun, dun, dun. Treatments sometimes went on for over a year. Now, it's about at this point that questions started coming in. Why were some of these patients doing really well with the treatment while others were not? Studies were showing that some of the men were doing really, really well with little to no treatment in the later stages of the disease, while leading some to believe that maybe, just maybe, they didn't need treatment in the later stages. Maybe it self-cure itself.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It'll just
disappear.
Like a virus.
So I guess here's where I need to mention a little tidbit that I left out earlier. Mm-hmm. You see, the year this all started was in 1929, and Jen, what was going on at that time in the country, in our great country in 1929?
Big crash.
Okay, depression, very big. The depression was hitting hard and would continue to do so for many years.
Happened in October.
So in 1932, it's been
3 years.
3 years.
Two and a half.
Give or take. The government decided that, you know, this is really expensive, and we just can't afford to treat all these people. So they tweaked the project just a little bit, just a little bit. Instead of treating those people, many of whom were obviously extremely poor and could never afford medical care or treatment on their own, officials decided to observe the, you ready? Quote, study in nature, end quote, principle. You know what that is?
Just to let them go.
Well, what they believed at this time was that the medical doctors and officials, the public health services, believe that many of these black folks couldn't afford medicine. Mm-hmm. And so if they weren't treated, like if they had never intervened, right, they would never be treated. And let's just go ahead and let nature run its course.
Take its
course. Let's see what happens. Okay. With the public health departments of Macon County, the state of Alabama, and the Tuskegee Institute all agreeing to continue the study, but with one small caveat, that instead of treating the affected, they're going to study the effects of not being treated.
Oh, good.
The only thing is that all these participants who had previously agreed to all this were not really informed of this huge change. They were under the impression that they would still continue to be treated. So they were guinea pigs, purposely not being treated to see how the disease would progress.
Humans should not be used as guinea pigs without being told.
Just wait. It gets worse. Like,
or paid.
This is almost like not doing something, but you got to think about what the year is and how this progresses to 1970. Oh, just wait.
You're I know.
I
know.
Get all fired up. I was all mad. The Public Health Services Department decided to only choose male subjects, that is, black men, because they were afraid, this is so nice of them, they were afraid that pregnant women would actually pass it on to their unborn children, and that wouldn't be nice. But you know what's funny here, Jen, if you think? What do men and women often do?
Dance?
Yes, dance. That's correct. A nurse who would later become famous, or infamous, I guess, is the subject of an HBO movie, and the movie was Miss Evers Boys. It's on HBO. The woman's name was Eunice Rivers, and she was a nurse. She was hired to help find subjects to participate in the study. Word spread fast about how men could be receiving free health care, and the turnout was huge. They came in, word of mouth, churches, places of work, they were all spouting that, hey, go get checked. You know, if you have it, you're going to get treated free. If you don't, you're good. You're great. It's great. And it's free. 399 black men with late stage syphilis were chosen to be the subject group while 201 uninfected Black men were chosen to be the control group. You know what that is, right?
Yes.
I didn't want to go over that. The men were given various meds, such as tonics or pills, and they were believed or led to believe that they were being treated for their diseases. Syphilis, at this time, was called bad blood. Yeah. During their treatment, or the course of their treatments, in addition to receiving these tonics or oils or rubs, they would often get these other procedures, very painful, like spinal taps.
No.
They would do that, and they would tell the men that this was a back shot or a back injection, but really what they were doing is pulling the spine out to test it to see if the syphilis was in there, if it was on its way to the brain. They wanted to see how it would had progressed in
that
the body.
That is horrifying.
In order to make this successful, local doctors were instructed to never treat these men if they came to them seeking assistance. Now, let me run that past you again. So the people of the study went to all the local doctors, the area doctors, and said, here's a list of gentlemen. You cannot treat them. If they come to you, placebo them, do whatever you have to do, but you do not treat them.
And the doctors went.
And the doctors did it. Now,
that goes against the...
I'm going to guess that they were paid. I couldn't find out that they were paid.
The doctors were paid?
I'm going to guess they had to be. Because a doctor, they have to... I mean, come on. The Hippocratic Oath.
That's called the hypocrite oath right there. I know. First, do no harm.
Right. So
They are doing harm.
I'm guaranteed. But there's no... You know, they don't...
But then again, it could just be...
blackmail receipts or, you know, bribe money receipts. So that's just...
But it could be, too, that these doctors are just like, okay, well, they are Black men.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, there was also Black doctors, though, that would treat the Black men. So that's not... Especially in the South. There was also one other little thing to note here. The only surefire way to see how the lack of medication would affect the bodies of these men was what?
Autopsy.
Very good. Autopsy after death. So in order to...
Yeah, you can't perform one when they're still alive.
You could, but then that's another podcast.
That would lead to their death.
Eunice Rivers would travel to these families of the men that had passed away and offer them $50, which was huge then, in exchange for permission to conduct an autopsy. She would also give the families food and clothing. Oh, and other referrals for medical illnesses, as long as it wasn't syphilis.
Right. So,
here's $50. The health departments at this time decided to ignore the study's violations of state law, which required them to report and treat the cases of venereal disease. They just looked the other way. As the men who were sometimes referred to as volunteers began dying off, medical journals were not reporting that statistically, men who had syphilis and were left untreated would live shorter lives, and many would even end up dying from it. As time was marching on, doctors would occasionally question what was going on. Okay, so as time was going on, like I said, this was 1929 all the way up to 1972. So this was before my mother was born, who's 81, up till after I was born. Think about that. That's crazy, right? That was going on. So doctors would occasionally stumble upon this and question it.
Really?
Is this ethical? Is this, you know, they would think something's amiss here. Officials of the study.
Was it ethical? What do you think?
Officials of the study would assure the doctors and others that they were doing the public a great service because they were getting all this knowledge against this awful disease in which they could use later. Many of these guys would be like, oh, okay. And I guess they likened it. And this is terrible animal experimentation. So here we go. Now you're going to get angry again. Here comes World War II. It's ending. And with the end of it, it is discovered that the Nazis were performing torturous medical experiments on these people. But guess what? The Tuskegee experiment right here, good US of A, down there in Alabama.
Doing the exact same thing.
Kept going. And it was different after all. You know, they're going to help people later on. But that's okay.
And so on and so on and so on. No, I know. It's horrible.
So thank goodness, as time is going on, education is getting better. Technology is getting better. Science is getting better. Even with the invention or, I guess, discovery of penicillin gen, and that happened late 20s, early 30s, but it did not get into full, big, widespread use until late 30s, 40s, 50s, something like that. So these doctors were told not to treat them purposely with penicillin. However, some of these
the researchers told doctors not to treat them with the pill.
The same doctors. However, which I think is kind of funny, a lot of times these men would go in for other illnesses or viruses and be prescribed penicillin. So that's skewing their experiment anyway. Mm-hmm. So like strep throat, they'd get penicillin or whatever, right? And so that would also go to affect the syphilis. Their statistics
were off anyway.
Anyway, yeah. Enter a man named Peter Buxton, who worked for the San Francisco Health Department. Now, he had heard about the study that was going on from a coworker in 1966. Stay with me on the years here. 1966. He's
started
doing the study.
In 29.
Mm-hmm. Right. At the time, he was hired to track venereal diseases for the San Fran organization. And he was furious that here he is in San Fran trying to track the disease, trying to help it, and trying to cure people, mm-hmm. right, and get them healthy, learning that this is all taking place in Alabama, where not only are they not curing people, but they're purposely not treating them. So he's furious, right?
Well, yeah, because you know people move.
So then you're going to contact the media. He speaks to a reporter named Gene Heller, who is an AP reporter, gives all the information that was taking place down there, everything mm-hmm. that he could collect. He's like, here it is. Do something about this study.
You would think he would call the WHO.
That's a World Health Organization.
Yeah.
Reporter Heller would go on to publish a story in the Washington Star in July of 1972.
Wow. So that's a good 6 years of research. I hope you didn't take this copyrighted study and read it to our listeners.
I didn't. Or did I? Just kidding. The Tuskegee syphilis study would not only shock a nation, but the world. It was news all over. This was,
I bet.
You know, this was huge.
Everybody was in danger.
Medical experiments were not new at this time, nor were they always ethical, as we know. But to purposely withhold medical treatment from Black men in a community that so needed it and were unable to afford it, that's disgraceful. It's mm-hmm. 1972, after all. The struggle for civil rights had already jumped over so many hurdles.
Yep.
But this was more than civil rights. This was human rights.
Trust me, I know.
Inner famed civil rights attorney, Fred D. Gray. Fred D. period Gray, not Freddie. Fred D. Gray, who sued the Public Health Service and the state of Alabama on behalf of the men and their survivors.
Good.
The case would be settled out of court for medical care for the family, as well as 10 million buckaroos.
But
not enough, if you ask me.
No, because how many?
Thank
it
you.
Was a class action suit, correct? So
as part of the settlement, the U.S. government promised to give lifetime medical benefits as well as burial services to all the living participants. The Tuskegee Health Benefit Program, or THBP, was established to provide these services. In 1975, wives, widows, and offspring were added to the program.
Good.
In 1995, the program was expanded to include health as well as medical benefits. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention was given responsibility for the program, where it remains today in the National Center for HIV/AIDS, viral hepatitis, STD, and TB prevention.
Wow.
Gray and four of the survivors went on to testify in front of the U.S. Senate. The testimony, as well as a giant push from the public, led to the establishment of an institutional review board for all research studies that had to include approval with guidelines about telling participants about the purposes as well as potential consequences of taking part in such studies. And, you know, we live in St. Louis, which is a huge hospital stuff. And I always think if I need money, mm-hmm. I'll just go do one of those
services.
They always mm-hmm. have those. I never thought about, like, you know, they have, there's one where you have to stay in bed for 10 days.
I know, God.
But there has to, that, with nothing to do, that would be terrible.
Oh, with nothing to do? You can't watch Netflix or read or anything?
No, I think your body has to stay, like, yeah. And I don't have to.
I could do it.
You're probably good. Even though the study would lead to changes in the law, as well as how other medical studies would be conducted, sadly, no one would ever be prosecuted for the crimes committed during the study. Finally, the study ended in 1972-ish, 1973.
After the article.
The last participant and survivor passed away in 2004, although he was far from the last infected mm-hmm. or affected by this travesty. How many wives, girlfriends, and children were affected? It was never,
no.
You can't ever figure that out.
Well, in 19, what was it? When it started, there was
329
men.
Well, then that was the later one. They started in 1929. And
right.
I think they had it to
they
treat.
They were doing men, women.
Men and women. They mm-hmm. they had it.
And then they
it started off good.
And then they just went to 399 men. So if those men just had one wife.
And one kid. And then they have one. And yeah.
Right.
So but you then don't know because they never calculated all that.
Right.
You know?
Some of them might not be married and they might have been mm-hmm. at the bar going, hey, hot stuff. You want to? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can't calculate it out.
Yeah.
Okay. In 1997, President Bill Clinton apologized on behalf of the nation. Oh, thanks, Uncle Bill. 1999, Tuskegee University National Center for Bioethics in Research and Healthcare hosts the first annual commemoration of the presidential apology. That's really kind of shocking if you think about it, 1999 versus 1929. In 2001, the
That's
President's Council on Bioethics was established. Can you, bioethics, that wasn't a thing until 2001. That's shocking.
And is that about the time Dolly came into play? The sheep, the cloning of the sheep?
Oh, maybe. I don't, oh, yeah, probably. Probably, I would say.
I'm going to go look that up right
go
now.
Go look that up on the Google. In 2009, the last widow receiving THBP benefits died on January 27th, 2009. There are 12 offspring currently receiving medical and health benefits. So in today, 2019, there are still 12 offspring from those that survived and kept going on. That's shocking. Did this get you fired up also?
No, it did.
But it's like not 1929 to 1933. It's 1929 to 1972.
No, people should know better. By the way, Dolly was born in 1996. So
oh, yeah, that's it.
That was before. And she died in 2003. Because I remember when that came around, she died of lung disease and severe arthritis.
So that, Jennifer, is the story of the Tuskegee syphilis experiment. And that is why I love Google. Because
Google
I wrote
awesome.
That yesterday. And I wasn't going to. I just stumbled upon it and I clicked something and it took me to Tuskegee and then syphilis. And then I was like, oh, because I was
down
thinking
the rabbit hole.
Tuskegee Airmen, you know, about the great Tuskegee Airmen. So I was assuming that's what right. it was about. And I went there and then it was syphilis. And I was like, what?
Now, did you read the Ever Brothers or
no, it's Miss Evers Boys.
Miss
on
Evers
HBO.
Boys.
No, I did not because yeah. I was trying to get this done yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that that would be another 2 hours. Then I'd probably find more information mm-hmm. and then add it in there. But like I said, there's so much. There's a Nova documentary and I didn't watch that either because I did not. I didn't want
I'm
it to
have
be.
I'm going to watch it. I've got so much to watch.
I don't know, I was just saying, like some of the pictures, like they pictures can't. Of the men getting their shots and, you know, who
now,
knows what
I
they
know,
were giving them.
I know that the scientists thought they were doing.
Okay. If they thought then why weren't they treating white women and white men too? And children. Children were getting it via their mother. Why weren't they treating them or not treating them?
Because
the black man was expandable.
Right. Expendable.
Expendable. And expandable.
White men expand too. But
grower.
No, I'm sure deep in their hearts, maybe they knew. I don't know.
No, they're terrible. I mean, I think that they knew what they were doing.
I think it's Alabama. It's the Southern.
Somebody, it was a medical
was
experiment
a
and they wanted to see what would happen. Because I think about that all the time, right? How do they know what these diseases do if they never see somebody go through it? Do you know what I mean? Well, they did before there was a cure. But then the minute there's a cure, that shouldn't be a thing anymore,
mm-mm.
right?
No.
And I think this all goes to...
No, but I like to think that there people are basically good. Now I'm quoting Anne Frank, but...
you got to remember, though, back then, too, black men and white men, their bodies were different. They had diseases
no,
that to the same disease. Different
no,
colored blood, obviously.
But mm-hmm. I'm just saying that I want to think that they were doing this for good, but
they
I don't...
They were, but they were having the black man take...
It's just unreal how people can treat... Others.
Humans.
Well, that was interesting. I'm going to have to go watch Miss Evers Boys and then go dig up the Nova documentary and such. I love Nova.
I forgot what the name of it is. It will be cited because it'll be good. But like I said, I didn't want to watch it because I
right.
wanted to roughly go only off articles. And I was afraid that, okay, honestly, I was afraid if I watched that, then I'd be 5 hours into TV
yeah.
watching and still nothing written.
Right. I get that. I sometimes find myself, if I watch something for a case... Accidentally, things slip in that I get from the. I remember bits and pieces from the documentary,
I'm okay
or whatever.
With that,
and
long
so it
as
would
I
like,
can. I try to at least back it up and have.
Right.
I want somebody else to say it.
Right, but what I'm saying is, I tend to sometimes I use their words unintentionally. Does that make sense?
Totally.
Like I remember what somebody said, so yeah. Which and then is okay you read. If you it. Well, but if you read like five things, chances are you might one sticks out more than the other and you accidentally do it. But if we ever copy some money, we really don't mean it. We're just not smart.
Jennifer, we barely put 2 feet in front of ourselves to walk. I mean, I seriously.
I know it's hard. It's hard. Anyway, that was great.
We'll talk like about it. That maybe a different
Patreon.
What we think about that, because I've been thinking about it a lot lately. All right, that's it. I would say to remember lock your doors and all that stuff, but these are our friends. They know.
Yeah. Come on over and have a beer.
That's more like it.
Yeah.
Meet you at the bar.
Meet you at the bar.
And we'll stare at people and
we'll talk.
Think about
we'll talk murder.
Stuff. Yeah.
Murder. Or we'll plan a murder. No. That's wrong. Sorry.
I keep saying that out loud. They'll catch on to it.
All right. We love you guys. Thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed it.
No, I'm just thinking. They got to know us. Like sometimes that last reviewer that said she got it because like half the time you're saying stuff, I can't even look at you because you're going to make me laugh. Mm-hmm. And it's hard enough to spit out the stuff
right at
all.
Mm-hmm.
And like when you say stuff, sometimes I know you. So I know what you're going to say. Yeah. And it's almost like pitching a ball to you because I know you're going to hit it. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I know what you're going to do. And so sometimes that's why I just ignore you because I know.
Sometimes I ignore myself. So
and then
okay.
sometimes it hits me out of left field. Look at all the baseball analogies. And I laugh.
Leave us comments. Tell us what you want to hear. Tell us what.
Just our friends. You don't have to. They know.
No, I know. I meant for us. Like, tell us what you want to hear. Tell us if we're not living up to our expectations. If Camille is failing you. All sorts of stuff. Just let us know. Drop us our truecrimepodcast@gmail.com. You know the length. Just reach out to us. Let us know what you think of the episodes, so on and so forth. We love you very much, and we appreciate you more than we could ever let you know.
Almost as much as Nico, but not quite. He's the third person, but not the third person that needs to be kicked off the podcast, the invisible third person.
No, Nico is the glue that holds us together.
He is. He's mm-hmm. a super glue. He's the gorilla glue.
He is the gorilla glue. Gorilla glue.
All right. Say bye.
Bye.